Today is about the rest of your life. It's about tomorrow and the day after that. The future God has planned for you shouldn't be a haphazard approach to life. You might feel stuck, but you don't have to be. Perhaps you're discouraged. It's time to deal with that. And if you feel uncertain, you can find clarity. You may not know what's next, but God does. He's there waiting for you in your tomorrow. So step into it and discover God's presence and purpose in your life. Starting today, starting now, it's time to move forward.
It's time we rise above our circumstances, conquer our fears, face the future with faith, prevail over the past, aspire to accomplish greater things, reclaim our birthright, proclaim His power, and claim God's promises. God has more for us. It's not time to stop. It's time to move forward. Today on Turning Point, Dr. Jeremiah challenges us to never stop starting and to do our best to finish what God has called us to do.
Are you ready for God to use you? You may think, well, I finally got to the end, now I can. No, if you're a Christian, you may discover that God will do the greatest things in your life at the end than all the things He's ever done in your life up until that point.
That's coming up on today's special forward edition of Turning Point.
In just a moment, Dr. Jeremiah will challenge you to never stop starting and do your best to finish what you start in the Lord's will. Find this and 9 other ways you can know God's purpose, feel God's power, and accomplish God's plan for your life in Dr. Jeremiah's new book, Forward, Discovering God's Presence and Purpose in Your Tomorrow. You'll learn the biblical strategy about how to claim the future God has prepared uniquely for you, no matter your age or your circumstance. Forward is yours when you give a gift of any amount in support of this program. And in appreciation of your gift of $75 or more, Dr. Jeremiah will send you the Forward set, including his new book, his entire teaching series on CD or DVD with a correlating study guide, and the How to Move Forward interview special with Sheila Walsh on DVD. Plus, with your book or set, Dr. Jeremiah will also send you his Move Forward motivation cards to help you keep the lessons of Forward front and center each day. God has more for you. It's not time to stop. It's time to move forward. Request the Forward book or set when you support Turning Point today.
Thank you for watching Forward here on Turning Point. In appreciation of your viewership, Dr. Jeremiah would like to send you these Move Forward motivation cards, absolutely free. Contact Turning Point today. And now, here is Dr. Jeremiah with his message, Finish. You're not done until you're done.
If you ever get into an unfortunate scrape, you might hire Frank P. Luciana to represent you. He's a razor-sharp attorney in Hackensack, New Jersey, just across the Hudson from New York City. You can spot Luciana in the courtroom daily, dressed in a dapper suit with a pocket square, chopping his hands in the air, defending people in trouble. He does it with energy and effectiveness. Luciana has been defending clients for quite a while. 45 years ago, a local newspaper claimed he was the city's busiest criminal lawyer. 22 years ago, the same paper called him a consummate showman and New Jersey's oldest active attorney. Today, Luciana still waxes eloquent before judges and juries at the age of 97. Luciana doesn't rest on his laurels. He said, "This is a very consuming profession, and it's taken a lot out of my life." He said, "I'm constantly involved in preparing cases, and it's a tremendous strain, both mental and physical. Physical, because when you go to trial, your whole being is obsessed with trying to help the person you represent, and it places your body and mind under tension." When he was asked about his future, Luciana said, "I hope God lets me continue doing this. I don't want to retire. I don't want to go to Florida. I just want to do what I'm doing. Personally, I kind of like going to Florida, but otherwise, I feel the same. I hope God lets me continue doing what He's called me to do. My name isn't Archippus, but I take the one verse addressed to him in the Bible just like it was written to me. Here's what it says. Tell Archippus see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Yes, your role may change, your assignments may evolve, and your situation may alter. You may have to make adjustments, but even so, one thing won't change. As long as God leaves you on this earth, He has ongoing work for you to do. There's no expiration date to the principles of this message. You never retire from the Christian life. You never drop out of God's will. There are countless barriers, men and women, to finishing well. And I'm going to talk to you about five major ones today because I want us to learn how to finish well. But rather than talk to them like barriers, I want to share them with you as challenges. I want you to think about the rest of this message like we're in the locker room and we're getting a pep talk delivered to all of us before we head out of the tunnel for the second half of the game. So here are those five things. Number one, to finish well, you have to stay focused till you're finished. One of the great finishers of the Bible was Solomon, King David's son. In fact, I discovered when I was researching this that the word finish is connected with Solomon a dozen times, especially with his building of the temple. So I went through with a yellow pad and I made a list of all the references associated with Solomon's finishing assignment to build God's house. And I noticed something that escaped me in all the many times I've read the story. It's interesting how just one little word can escape you and it can mean everything. Solomon was not only a finisher, he was a total, complete, absolute finisher. And I want you to notice this as I run through these scriptures together. Number one, 1 Kings 6:22, he finished all the temple. 6:38, the house was finished in all of its details according to all its plans. 7:51, so all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. 2 Chronicles 5:1, so all the work that Solomon had done for the house of the Lord was finished. 2 Chronicles 7:11, Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord. When it came to building God's temple in Jerusalem, Solomon finished it all. He left nothing undone, and that's because I believe his father prayed him into this environment. Listen to David's prayer and his challenge to Solomon before David walked off the scene and Solomon took over. 1 Chronicles 28:20, here's what he said. Be strong, Solomon, and of a good courage, and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, he will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. We have to finish it all. We don't get to stop part of the way. Most of the way doesn't work. Almost all the way isn't enough. God wants us to finish it all. Don't say, well, I'm almost there, and then you walk away and you leave it not quite done. There's not anything more discouraging to you than to spend all of your time and all of your energy to get almost all the way and then walk away before you get done. Here's the second thing about finishing life. Stay resilient about retirement. I don't think anything's more controversial in the lives of people like me than retirement. I hear it all the time. Somebody always brings it up. And I want to tell you that the second key to finishing well is to approach the topic of retirement with resilience and with some sanctified resistance. I remember reading about a wife who said to her retired husband, what are you going to do today? He said, nothing. She said, but you did that yesterday. He said, I know, but I'm not finished yet. Someone said that a husband's retirement can become a wife's full-time job. Many people, you see, have followed the general expectation in America and the Western world that when we reach a certain age, we retire. It's just what we do. Retirement has become the final rotation in the cycle of life. Just like we ask children, what do you want to be when you grow up? We ask adults, what do you plan to do when you retire? And seldom do we hear the value of retirement plans questioned, and certainly not the value of retirement itself. But what does the Bible say about this? Interestingly enough, the Bible has only one example of retirement. I'll tell you where it is. It's in Numbers chapter 8, verses 24 through 26. Here's what it says. This is what pertains to the Levites. From 25 years old and above, one may enter to perform service in the work of the tabernacle of meeting. And at the age of 50 years, they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. They may minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of meeting to attend the needs, but they themselves shall do no work. While the Levite tabernacle workers were instructed to retire at age 50, they weren't put out to pasture to spend the rest of their lives twiddling their thumbs and gazing at the sundial. No, they were charged to minister to the younger Levites who took over their jobs. They became mentors and advisors. Today, we would probably call them consultants. So, no, I'm not saying you shouldn't take advantage of your Social Security income or pension benefits, but you might want to avoid the word retirement. You don't have to continue in your profession until you're in the 90s, but if you do leave your job, remember, retirement is simply God's way of freeing you up for further service. Here's the third thing I learned. Stay connected to your calling. Romans 11:29 says this, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. That means you can't undo them. If God calls you, he is not going to uncall you. The gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Oz Guinness had something to say about this. He said, I think it's important to realize that we can retire from our jobs, but we can never retire from our calling. Calling gives us our sense of task or responsibility right up to the last day we spend on earth when we go to meet the caller. I think that gives life incredible value, and therefore the prosperity of finishing well is that we continue to have a sense of responsibility and engagement that makes every day we live enormously important. So to finish well, consider maintaining a connection between what you did before you retired and what you do after you retire. Someone has said, your career is what you're paid to do. Your calling is what you're made to do. Now, you may not have a career that's transferable into your post-retirement life, but if you're a follower of Christ, you have a calling. You have a gift God has given you, an ability for service. So just keep using it for the Lord. Use it in a different context, in a different environment, but don't stop doing what God has called you to do. When Jesus had finished his work on earth and was about to be crucified, resurrected, and returned to heaven, he prayed this prayer about his life, John 17:4. He said, God, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Read that verse carefully. Jesus didn't finish all the work there was to do. He finished the work that he was given to do. And that should be our prayer. Lord, help me to finish the work you have given me to do. If you do that, you're going to live a full and exciting life. Here's number four. Stay vigilant after your victories. Finishing well, going all the way to the end, staying in God's will and in his plan and in his purpose and in his blessing, all the way to the end, demands vigilance. We can't let our guard down, especially after new adventures or fresh victories. I think that's what got King David into trouble. He got into trouble with Bathsheba because he had achieved great success. He had won every battle against all of his enemies. The Bible says his world was at peace because of him. He had created great peace in Israel. And then after all those victories, he got careless. Listen carefully to the words that describe what he did. 2 Samuel 11:1. And it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, but David remained in Jerusalem. King David should have been leading his people, serving as the head of his army, but instead he stayed home. He felt he was at the point in life where he could relax some and let others bear the burden of war. He'd paid his price. He wasn't where he should have been, and he wasn't doing what he should have been doing. And he was celebrating his victories without vigilance, and the rest is history. His sin with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband Uriah is a stain on David's life. And while God forgave David and restored him, that one moment of carelessness, that one moment when he lacked vigilance, that one moment became part of David's biography. I don't know if you've ever read this verse before. I remember reading it and kind of being astonished by its wording. 1 Kings 15:5, here's what it says. David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. You see, what happens is when we get to the top and we experience the greatness of God, if we're not careful, we let down our guard, we relax, and we allow the enemy to move in the most unlikely time. And I know that's happened over and over again to so many people I've talked to. I believe there's two verses in the Bible that we should all memorize and always keep before us. They tell us what to do in order not to fall, and they captured this vigilance after victory warning. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So here are these challenges as we prepare to go out for the second half of life. Stay focused till you're finished. Stay resilient about retirement. Stay connected to your calling. Stay vigilant after your victories. And finally, stay ready for redeployment. Make sure that you're ready for God to redeploy you in any way that he chooses. Always be looking forward to what the Lord has next for you. Folks, it doesn't take a deep dive into secular history or the Bible to discover that many great things are accomplished by people who are past the age of retirement. Pianist comedian Victor Borgia, the Clown Prince of Denmark, continued to delight huge audiences until his death at the age of 91. As I speak to you today, singer Tony Bennett is 93, and he leaves his heart not only in San Francisco, but in many other cities where he continues to go every year and sing. 90-year-old master cellist Pablo Casals was asked why he kept practicing 8 hours a day, and he said, I think I'm improving. Pearl Buck, the famous writer and the daughter of missionaries to China, said, I've reached an honorable position in life because I am old and no longer young. I am a far more useful person than I was 50 years ago or 40 years ago or 30 or 20 or even 10. She said, I have learned so much since I turned 70. So don't give up on yourself too early. Don't deprive yourself of the many blessings God wants to bestow upon you in your post-retirement years. Change what you do if you have to, but don't stop serving the Lord. Because I believe one of the greatest unused talent pools in our churches are people who've come to a certain age, and they have this mentality that's been forced upon them by the culture that says when you get to a certain place, you have to quit, you have to stop. But then they lose their sense of importance, their sense of value, and they lose the joy of their life. God gives us as many years as we're allowed on this earth, and we should try to make every one of them count for the kingdom. Here's a couple of verses to encourage you. They sure have kept me on board. They were given to us by our gracious Father to keep us faithful throughout our lives. Don't forget what we learned earlier. If you're not dead, you're not done. Psalm 92 says this, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Isaiah 46, verse 4, even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear you. Even I will carry you and deliver you. And here's the special prayer that I have claimed for my life. Psalm 71, 18. Now also when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. Yes, God uses us all the way through if we just make ourselves useful. As I bring this message to a close, I want to tell you about one of the men in our congregation is Shadow Mountain. More than anyone I know, he has captured the concept of finishing well. Tom Heyer taught math at Helix High School for 40 years. He had received Christ as Savior as a junior at San Diego State and immediately began to teach. He loved his job. I remember meeting him at his school many years ago. I had gone to Helix to meet with a coach who was trying to help my son get a scholarship in football. And he said to me, "You have a teacher that works here from your church." And he introduced me to Tom Heyer. That was the first time I met him. He loved his students. I could tell that for sure. He wasn't just putting in his time. He helped start a Christian club on that campus that impacted many lives. He was a well-loved teacher, and he was really good at what he did. But in the summer of 2002, Tom Heyer was looking forward to beginning his 40th year of teaching. One morning during the summer, as he and his wife, Pam, took their regular prayer walk together, God spoke to Tom and turned his life upside down. Here is how Tom put it. He said, "That morning, God spoke directly to me. He told me it was time to set aside teaching because he had something else for me to do." Since teaching had been his whole life, Tom had no idea what God was up to, but he was about to find out. After counseling with one of our pastors, Tom accepted the challenge to start a weekly men's Bible study. That Bible study called itself Fellows, and it's been going now for 18 years. Because of his leadership in that Bible study, he was asked if he'd be willing to take over the prison ministry at our church, Shadow Mountain Community Church. At that time, we had about 12 people who were involved in ministering to the prisoners of San Diego County. Once again, Tom prayed and he accepted the challenge, and what has happened since is truly remarkable. Today, as he closes in on the 17th year of his leadership in this ministry, God has opened doors for ministry to everyone impacted by incarceration. He ministers to inmates, parolees, ex-offenders, spouses, children, other family members, even correctional officers and prison staff. According to Tom, the P in prison doesn't stand for prison, but it stands for people. People who God loves with an everlasting, unconditional love. Each week now at Shadow Mountain, 40 different team members go into 8 different prisons, holding roughly 30 meetings a month, with an average of over 600 inmates, men, women, and youth, in attendance. At Christmas, a huge party is hosted for the children of incarcerated parents. Hundreds of children, mostly with their mothers, attend this party on our church campus. On the Saturday before Christmas, our event center is filled with families that would be forgotten were it not for this incredible ministry. Several years ago, a young man in our church who'd been incarcerated was released, and he came to Tom Heyer, and he told Tom how Christmas was such a hard time for prisoners. It was the lowest time, the loneliest time, the time when they felt so rejected and forgotten. And he asked Tom if he thought there was anything we could do to make a difference in their lives during this season. And the result of that conversation was the great Christmas card mail-out. Last Christmas, hundreds of volunteers, some of them from our church, but many of them just from San Diego, under the direction of Tom Heyer's Shadow Mountain Prison Ministry, got together during the holiday season and sent out over 15,000 Christmas cards to prison inmates. When God spoke to Tom Heyer on that morning walk in 2002, he ignited a movement that will live on long after Tom and I are gone. Today, the Shadow Mountain Prison Ministry is one of the largest church-sponsored prison ministries in America. And it all started in the life of one man who was retiring, and Tom Heyer was ready to be redeployed. Are you ready for God to use you? You may think, "Well, I finally got to the end, now I can..." No, if you're a Christian, God has a right to your life. And if you will give him the opportunity to use you, even in the days after you have finished your full vocational experience, you may discover that God will do the greatest things in your life at the end than all the things he's ever done in your life up until that point. How many of you know sometimes God saves the best till last? He wants to do that for you. He wants to do it for me. Let's commit ourselves to the fact that we're going to stay faithful until we're finished. Amen? Amen.
Dr. Jeremiah will return in a moment with one more inspirational word to close today's program right after this.
Thank you for watching today. Did you know that this program is just one part of the ministry of Turning Point, which is committed to delivering the unchanging Word of God to an ever-changing world? This program is only possible because of the generous and faithful support of viewers like you. When you support the ministry of Turning Point, you partner with us to reach across the world with the gospel and with the strong Bible teaching of Dr. Jeremiah through television, radio, print, and digital ministry in several languages and to multiple generations. Please consider supporting this program and the worldwide ministry of Turning Point. When you do, Dr. Jeremiah will thank you by sending his new book, Forward, Discovering God's Presence and Purpose in Your Tomorrow. And if you give $75 or more, he will send you, in appreciation, his comprehensive Forward set. Your gift helps move the ministry forward. Contact Turning Point today.
And now, with one last word for today's program, here is Dr. Jeremiah.
No matter what season of life in which you find yourself, your brightest day can be just around the corner. Take hold of it. Let go of the past. Get out of your rut. Choose to run forward toward everything God has planned for the next phase of your life. But remember, this forward journey is not one we do alone. We need Jesus Christ to take even one step. So I hope you know Jesus Christ well. But if you don't, I'd like to introduce him to you today. I would like to send you two resources to start your journey with Christ. The first is a booklet called Your Greatest Turning Point, and the second is our monthly devotional magazine, Turning Points. These resources are yours completely free when you contact Turning Point today.
Also available from Dr. Jeremiah, the Jeremiah Study Bible, the culmination of more than four decades of Dr. Jeremiah's study and teaching. Available in NKJV, NIV, and ESV. Plus, Dr. Jeremiah's Airship Genesis Kids Study Bible for the young ones in your life. Order a Bible for yourself or as a gift for someone you know. Contact Turning Point today. Next time on Turning Point.
If your heart is right with God and you are a Christian and you die and you go to heaven, the Bible says you will meet Jesus personally, face to face. This is your ultimate goal. This will be your single most phenomenal moment of your entire life. This is what you're living for, what you're waiting for, and what you're anticipating with all your heart. This is celebration with a capital C.
Thank you for being with us today. Join us next time as Dr. Jeremiah directs you how to celebrate your life and faith today as you look forward to your future in eternity. Here on Turning Point.